Chinese couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And this week, we've got the entry into crappy movie season.
That's true.
I'm so excited.
It is August.
I sharpened the claws after we came back from Comic-Con, because I knew this was coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready. Let's do 2 or 3 months of bad movies, and then maybe another 2 months of really boring Oscar bait flicks.
Well, no,
and
actually,
then I'll go to Sundance.
Movie season sort of ramps up a little bit in October because you get some of the horror movies. And,
not for me.
Okay, well, that's because you're a big pansy.
Fair enough. And
you wet yourself and crawl under your bed and hide under the covers.
It's taking it a little far.
I've seen it.
Saying that I'm a pansy is okay, but the wet the pants thing, that doesn't even happen.
Yes.
You can't even, that's libel right there.
Oh, you're going to sue me?
I might.
What damages?
For like $5.
$5?
Yep.
You'll be from the Sisterhood of the Wet Pants.
Kevin saying that I wet my pants. Did you say Sisterhood of the Wet Pants?
That's what you're involved
in.
That's
fantastic.
Okay.
As long as Blake Lively's there, I'll wet my pants.
Okay, let's...
Yep,
let's
move right.
on.
Where are you going to go from there, Carr?
I have no idea. I'm just trying to keep us on the radio so we don't start dropping stations.
Anyways, before we get back to whatever it is we were just doing, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can get us on the web, fatguysthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to us in the iTunes store. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735.
When was the last time you checked the voicemail?
Yesterday. And
really?
We had a couple. I just didn't listen to them.
You are like the worst person to put in charge of the voicemail.
Bah.
We'll listen to them during a break and see if there's anything.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe.
We will.
Okay.
So, what were we talking about again?
Biggest reject loser update. And here is the update.
That's not necessary.
Neil completely wussed out in it and refused, flat out refused, to take his lumps.
I believe we did it. We just didn't record it.
No, we
didn't.
And
we were all just kind of sitting around smoking cigars at the time.
Yeah, there was a couple impressions of I Will Drink Your Milkshake, but there was no beating anybody to death with a
Let me put it to you this way.
Club.
We were supposed to have t-shirts for Comic-Con. I'm just trying to illustrate how poorly planned this whole Comic-Con trip was.
And this is my fault, how?
No. I'm not saying it was, it's totally my fault.
Okay.
The t-shirts are in a DHL box over there in the corner of the magical studio in the sky. They were waiting for me when we got back from Comic-Con. So that shows you how well prepared we were. We were not in any shape to, go out and get, well, whatever. We were not in any, state of mind to go, or state of planning to go get costumes and do this whole thing.
Okay.
So it was all kind of
a cluster.
You
make it sound like it's a period piece or, you know,
it would have had to
drama.
Have been. I mean, it's from like, what? The movie's set in the early 1900s. So
well,
we would have had to have some kind of costumes.
We still could have run around and hit each other with pillows. Then it would have turned into
but
like a
we did
beer
that.
Commercial. And they would have, like, feathers would have come down and we would have gotten in our skimpy underwear.
Wait till everybody sees the last video from Comic-Con. They'll understand.
If it emerges.
Someday it will.
Because we have a crazy, out-of-control editor.
I don't know if I'd go that far with
no,
it.
Maybe.
But, yeah. Comic-Con was fun.
Sure.
Overall,
we had
an interesting time.
Yeah.
So, I drank a lot.
I didn't.
See, that's probably the key.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have drank a lot.
Well, the key is, I remember after you looked at it and you were looking at the coverage on the site, and I tried to explain to you, when people go to parties with free booze,
yeah.
you get a lot less stuff done for the site.
Well, see, the key is, I think we're more functional drunks than most other websites, because our coverage still kind of whooped everyone else.
Okay.
Despite the fact that I was like, oh, this sucks. So, but
you're
it didn't
sort of
suck.
Like you're gonna make a terrible father because like your kid will be come home with that like A and you'll be like,
right?
That's not an A plus. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like you'll talk to your friends like I'm so proud of my kid.
Right.
He got an A, and the kid's gonna be like you know cutting his wrists. And it'll be your fault.
We all have to go through that phase of our life. So shouldn't we be talking about some movies? Let's talk about a movie here.
I want to tear apart your psyche a little bit more before we.
There's everything you just said there, totally true.
You totally agree with
me? Yeah. Oh yeah, it's gonna happen.
Wow.
That kid doesn't know what's in it for him. This is why I don't have kids.
That's why you don't have sex.
Not necessarily.
No, there's other reasons.
This is why I don't have kids.
There's other reasons why you don't have sex.
I'm sure there is.
The body odor and the neck beard.
The neck beard, yes. Things. Apparently. Okay. So let's talk about a movie, though.
Okay.
Because I think we're going to run out of time if we don't.
Okay. Quick. The first movie up is The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Brandon Fraser is back battling the mummified version of Jet Li with three-headed dragons, football yetis, and whatnot.
We found it, Professor.
It's the Tomb of the Dragon Emperor and his army.
This is incredible.
Here we go again.
Whoa! We're going to do this my way. I put down more mummies in my time than you.
You put down one mummy, Dad.
Yeah, same mummy, twice.
When the Emperor built the Great Wall, he buried his enemies underneath it. I will call them to battle once again.
Time to go.
Now, can I say something really quick?
No.
Why not?
No.
Okay, anyways.
This isn't your show.
I am going to talk.
Okay.
Let me just preface this with, I went in...
Booga, booga, booga!
With this movie, not... I went in with the mindset that there's no way that this movie can come out any higher than Kind of Rocks. Like, okay. If it was stellar, it would have been a Kind of Rocks. This is just... Looking at the previews, the fact that it's being released so distantly from the other two, I mean, you're looking at what? Yeah, 8 years. So at maximum, this was going to be a Kind of Rocks. Then the movie gets started. The dialogue is pretty terrible, but the other movies were like that, so I was willing to give it to it. So we're still in the middle somewhere, and then all of a sudden, yetis show up and kick field goals with Asian men. And
with Asian, that sounds like,
and that
they went down to the club.
And the movie immediately took a turn to a point where I decided that this movie completely sucks, but a movie about yetis would be awesome.
The entire movie.
So
the Yeti, Tomb of the Yeti Emperor.
No, I believe it was Ninja Yetis, the Ninja Yeti Football Diaries is the
awesome
movie that I would like to see. The rest, the whole Brendan Fraser thing, get rid of it. Brendan Fraser, I'm sorry, it's not working, man. Go play the old guy. Play like an old guy now. You can't continue to be like wannabe.
He's like 40.
You can't continue to play like wannabe Indiana Jones for your entire career.
Indiana Jones is in the 60s now, and Brendan Fraser's like 40. I'll defend him on that.
Let me tell you something else that annoyed me about this movie. Maria Bello is not British.
No. No, she does really slather on that accent pretty
well. Wow.
Although I will give them credit, because right at the beginning, she's reading a book. The story is she's gone on and wrote The Mummy Adventures and become a best-selling author, and she's doing a book reading. And somebody says, "Are you going to do this again?" And she's like, "No, I'm a completely different person now." And that I thought was really kind of funny as a nod to the fact that...
I didn't even catch that joke.
You didn't catch that? That she's not Rachel
Weisz?
You were asleep.
Somebody woke me up just in time to see the Yeti football scene.
My son, he was next to you. Now let me.
Your kids loved it. They were like three-headed dragon.
Three-headed dragon, football Yetis. This is the thing about The Mummy, is it's not great at all. And you know, the first Mummy was pretty good, and the second Mummy was it was okay. And so this one it's taking a step
except
down.
Except for that whole big Scorpion King thing at the end.
I was going to say the short skirt fight between Aksam Manul and Rachel Weisz's character. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But this movie was just so... It was fun for like the family audience, but yeah, it really did kind of feel thrown together. And the ending, I'm not going to give anything away, but it's like the ending is something that you would see on a DVD as an alternative ending. That was just such a misfire.
Cool. Well, I think let's go to break and we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back.
Okay. So since we went to the break, I wasn't able to completely finish all my brilliant thoughts, since you hogged up all the time defending your actions of not, standing up for your fatness at Comic-Con and then blabbling on.
You were the one
on.
That said that I wet my pants. You went out of your way to spend time on that. So
I'm just calls it as I sees it.
I bet.
Anyways, but The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. See, I'm sort of torn on this one because... You know, as a grown up and as just a guy who likes sort of big summer movies, it was not that good. But the effects were kind of cool, I have to say.
The Yetis were awesome
until they were, you know.
Even when they were kicking field goals.
When the marching band Yetis came in and started, playing fight songs.
It did not fit whatsoever in the film. But it was awesome.
But it was awesome. The three-headed dragon, which you see in the trailers.
It was kind of cool.
Pretty cool. I mean, but there's just stuff that the whole movie just didn't quite come together. It kind of congealed at points.
Okay.
You know, it just sort of blah, and had these, you know, cottage cheese curds. And then you had to sort of go through the soupy mess to get to.
But there were no cottage cheese curds on the chick that was in it. She was hot. Who's that chick?
Who? Maria Bello?
No, not Maria Bello.
Oh, the Asian chick?
The Asian, the young one.
She was hot.
She was very hot.
Okay. I don't disagree. But we don't measure movies on how hot the chicks
are. Isabella Leung.
Or everything that Jessica Simpson and Jessica Alba have been in would be winning Oscars. And they clearly are.
Right, but obviously our scale is so much different than the one they use for the Oscars.
The Oscars do not take into account fat guys' grades.
Not at all.
No. But
they do the opposite.
But I'll tell you this with the Mummy, the Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. I did take my kids. My kids absolutely love the movie. It is really sort of that.
For the three-headed dragon.
For the three?
They didn't love it for the awesome dialogue or the story structure.
No, they never do. I mean, I can't say that they've ever been like, yeah, what's your favorite part about the movie? And they'd be like, oh, I like the nihilistic angst that people are feeling. I
love that one monologue toward the end.
Yeah, you know, that's not what they get into. Although they did have a problem with the kissing at parts because they're boys and they're 7 and 5. So there was some kissing. But they love the movie for the special effects for the reason that you're going to take kids to a movie.
Yep.
You know, so if you got kids, it can get kind of scary. So, you know, it is rated PG-13. So just be aware of what's happening.
Oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
Of my total quote for this movie. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I said when we walked out, I was like, man, that was more violent, in-your-face violent than The Dark Knight. Like, when you think about, just think about it, because I'm sure everybody that's listening to
this
show.
They cut people's heads off, but you didn't see it.
Right. But it's like. But there was a lot more blood and stuff like that. Like that last scene, there was a lot of blood in the last scene.
There was?
And people getting, you can actually see people getting shot and stuff like that. Like,
oh, okay, okay.
You know, whereas like The Dark Knight, it was kind of all off camera and stuff like that.
The Dark Knight was very psychological.
It was very psychological, whereas this is kind of in your face. So I was like, it's too violent to really be a kid's movie, despite the fact that your kids liked it. But your kids like...
It's cartoony violence. I mean, it's nothing that you wouldn't see in an old school comic book.
I still think it's a little too violent for kids, and it's way too dumb of a film to be taken seriously.
I would caution. I would, if you ever put it on a scale, I would much more caution people against taking kids to The Dark Knight than taking kids to The Mummy. I mean, The Mummy, as long as you just know that there's a little bit of sort of comic book cartoony violence. I mean, you don't have people's heads getting lopped off and blood going or anything like that. I mean, it's not hostile or. You know.
Mm,
no, yeah, it's no, not. No, you it's haven't not, seen Hostel because like, you wet your pants.
It's not like Hostel, but it's like it's almost like Lord of the Rings violence.
Not even Lord of the Rings is much. I mean, it's you have giant skeletons getting their heads cut off, but that's sort of. I mean, it's
okay because they're skeletons.
It's no more violence.
God, you're such an anti-skeletonist.
I am.
It's okay because they're
dead.
Skeletons.
They're already dead. They don't. They can't vote.
Wow.
But it's Anyways. Let me put it this way. It's no more violent than the Star Wars movies. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, that's fair. That's actually a good place to put it.
Because I mean, you got people getting their heads cut off and dying.
No better than those last three Star Wars movies either.
I like the last three. First one's kind of sucky, but
anyways. So what's your grade?
You know what? I'm gonna lean to kind of rock simply because I think it'd be fun for the family.
I was gonna say totally sucks. But I'm saying kind of sucks because of the Yeti. Because I want to see the Yeti spinoff. I want this to do so well that it's like Madagascar where they spin off the penguins.
Well, kind of how like...
I want to see Yeti spinoff.
The Mummy 2 had the Scorpion King was a spinoff, and so this could be the Yetis. The
I want to see it diaries. Straight to DVD Yeti Football Diaries.
Why straight to DVD?
It doesn't have to be in the theaters. I just
Wouldn't
want to
be able
awesome to
watch it. Would it be if it was?
I mean, it would be because they were cool.
Do you think that would make $600 million?
I doubt it.
Oh, okay.
So, moving on. Next movie we're going to talk about is... a completely relevant, irrelevant film called Swing Vote, which stars Kevin Costner. He plays a down-and-out redneck. He's not really a redneck, though. Anyways, who is given the opportunity to choose the next president of the United States after a computer glitch stops his vote from counting.
Don't forget today.
What's today?
Election day, dummy.
Well, I'm not even registered.
I registered for you in the mail.
Well, that's great. I could get jury duty now.
Mr. Johnson... Your vote didn't count. You're entitled to recast your ballot in a timely manner.
All we have to do is win over one American mind.
I read about you in the paper. They said you'd do anything to win. Even if it meant selling your mother's soul.
If you met my mother, you'd understand.
He's totally not a redneck, though.
Well,
I never bought I never bought Kevin Costner as a redneck in this movie for one second.
He wears shirts without sleeves. He's a pro bass hat. He's basically a skinny version of Larry the Cable Guy.
He's like, no, but he's totally as much of a redneck in this as he was in Tin Cup. Like, there's nothing. He's just kind of a shoddy dude. Like, he's not Larry the Cable Guy. He's not a skinny.
He's a skinny Larry the Cable Guy. No way. He totally is.
He's just an idiot. In this movie,
he drinks beer, he shoots guns, he lives in a trailer, mm-hmm. he wears a pro bass hat, he's got shirts with no sleeves,
but he's still Kevin Costner, which is what makes him unbelievable.
Okay, whatever.
So, but anyways,
I'm more annoyed with you than the movie.
Why?
I just am.
All right, fair enough. Here's what I have to say about this movie. First of all,
stop.
What?
I don't want to hear your opinion.
Oh, fair enough. First of all, I've never seen a political movie with a political message that's so irrelevant in an election year. Like, this has nothing to do with anything. And
okay.
So it's kind of painful.
I don't know exactly what you're saying
way.
With that, but sure.
But it tries to give a message at the end, and it just falls.
I'm going to blow it for everybody. The message is go out and vote.
Right. Good message,
that's
people.
That's what the vote is. That's what the...
Go and vote if you're poor, I guess, was
no,
the message.
Just,
at
it
the
just
end.
Go and vote, which.
Sure. Everybody should vote, anyways. I think that's
well. I don't know,
but here's the one thing they took this
I don't
great
think you should vote
this great little actress.
Did you wet your pants?
This great little actress, Madeline Carroll, who
the Subway Girl.
Is she the Subway Girl?
She's in one of the Subway ads.
Okay, fair enough. So she's really good. She has that, you know, precocious Abigail Breslin type quality to her. The problem is they took her and they stuck her in a bad movie.
Well,
so,
the other problem is she kind of looks like she could be Abigail Breslin's stand-in too.
Right.
She looks like too much like her.
Right. It's too much. Plus the movie around her is not that good.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like one of those Lifetime movies, except it didn't have anything to do with women.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was like
I'll give you that.
It was like the if Lifetime came out with. The Go Vote movie, this would be it.
Well, you know what? The thing is, and you hear this a lot, and I've heard people complain about when critics say this, but the movie didn't know what it was trying to be. Was it trying to be a family drama, or was it trying to be a political comedy?
This is also true.
And I think it kept going back and forth, and those movies just have so little to do with each other
right.
that it just kept stumbling back and forth. It's like trying to walk. It was like Shia LaBeouf trying to walk the straight line during his drunk driving test. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know him.
Right. Well, and there were points where it was funny and there were points where it was cute, but it, overall it did not come together well.
No.
So.
But I will say this about it. It is very much, it's released by Touchstone. And Touchstone nowadays makes basically two kinds of movies. It makes Jerry Bruckheimer action films.
Mm-hmm.
And
which pay the bills for all the second category here.
Which are stuff like Dan in Real Life, sort of these friendly, sort of grown-up, like comics,
yeah.
You know what I mean, and
right.
and that's kind of what Dan in Real Life is exactly the kind of a movie Touchstone makes,
right.
and to me, Swing Vote kind of fits that same category. So if you like that brand of movies,
but it felt a little bit more Disney, and it's worth noting that Touchstone's part of Disney, but it felt like that Bruce Willis movie, The Kid, but it had that like serious piece to it that made
Bruce
it
Willis
really
movie
weird
was,
to watch.
Was way too.
And what was that other one with Dennis Quaid where the rookie?
The rookie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those
like
kind
that.
Of movies. That's exactly what it is. Where it's supposed to be heartwarming. It's, you know, good for the human spirit. My problem with it is I'm just such a cynical SOB that I couldn't get past certain things. I thought that they were like in the movie, they were sort of like, I thought it would have been funnier if they would have gone completely crazy with the comedy and saying, look, here, these are the candidates are completely selling out just to get this guy's vote.
Right.
You know, here's the thing. And, you know, I can buy the whole thing of saying, well, all this stuff really would happen that doesn't in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what's to stop some left wing or right wing extremist from kidnapping the kid and saying, hey, vote our guy in.
Right.
You know, I mean, which would literally happen.
Probably.
If that, you know. So I have just, I guess I don't have enough faith
in the
human.
It was very implausible, the whole deal.
I don't have enough faith in the human spirit and just got so nice. And then finally at the end, you know, through the whole thing, they're kind of like, oh, well, you know, the president's really a nice guy and the Democratic contender really is a nice guy. Everyone needs to rise above this. And I was just like, oh.
Please.
And then they had a big kind of preach at the end. Literally a preach. He stands there and reads something. So right. I'm not gonna say what it was, but I'm just like, at least Michael Moore picks a side and goes with it.
Fair enough.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And just in case you haven't noticed, that was a break.
Wah, wah. Thank you, Neil Miller, for pointing out the obvious.
We didn't really say that we were going to break.
This is like me saying, oh, it's a cute little art house film. Batman The Dark Knight's coming out. Did you know that?
See, I've done this twice. You say that every single time.
I've said it about Iron Man. I've said it about The Dark Knight. What else have I said?
And like every movie last year. It started with Spider-Man 3.
Every movie? No.
It started with Spider-Man 3.
Whatever, but I didn't say it about like Meet Dave.
I didn't say
it about The Assassination of Jesse James from The Coward Robert Ford.
That was an art house flick. That also independent flick.
You said every movie.
Anyways.
Every movie. Exact words, Marsha.
Can we move back
exact
to the
words,
Swing
Marsha.
Movie?
Marsha. Do you watch The Brady Bunch?
Not as much as you, obviously.
Okay.
So back to the swing boat thing. So you said, you ended with saying at least Michael Moore picks a side. And sure. I mean, at least does pick a side. And I didn't. I thought the only funny part of the movie was the campaign commercials
when they sell out
when the two candidates just start abandoning all of their principles to try and win this one guy. So that was like the Democrat does an anti-abortion commercial that's absolutely hysterical,
and the Republican does a gay marriage ad.
Yeah, and he does a gay marriage ad, and I think that was kind of funny. But it turned to parody, it was funny. But then at the end, it tries to like bring it all back serious.
But it only gives like 10 minutes of parody. That's why I thought the whole movie would. I thought it would
needed
have been better.
To be a little bit more not slapsticky, but a little bit more parody.
I think it should have gone more extreme, and I think they should. I think it would have been better in like the hands of Trey Parker and Matt Stone, because they would have made the guy like. You know, like a race, like it would have been hilarious if he was like
if he was
KKK member.
Larry the Cable Guy.
No, if he was like a KKK member. And they're like, we don't like the blacks either. Come vote for us or something like that, which would be hilarious because it would be show them go so extreme.
It'd be kind of hilarious.
I think it would be fun.
I don't know how you'd tie that one up, though.
This one wasn't tied up very well. You can't tied it up any better than this one was.
This one was designed to come together quite neatly and be...
See, I think I think they painted themselves into a corner, and then we're like, because I'm literally watching it, going, "How in the world
How's
are they going to
end
this?"
Yeah.
And then they end it, and you're just like, "What a cop out!" You know,
totally.
But ultimately, they were trying to be nice to both sides, and I mean, I don't like to be preached at,
right?
Whether it's something I believe in or
but
not.
I also don't like indecisiveness.
But yeah, that's the thing, because like there was a movie that came out. I think it came out last year. It was on DVD earlier this year called Blue State. Did you ever see it?
Mm-mm.
It was a story of a guy played by Breckin Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Who's very funny.
Who literally wants to move to Canada because he declared he was going to move to Canada if Bush won in 2004, and he does.
Right.
And that's sort of the premise of the movie. The movie's not that good. It's just not well put together. But I at least give him credit in the sense that they said, we're going with one political side on this one. And we're you know, we're pro-Kerry, anti-Bush. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Because at least you know what you're getting into. Here, they were just so wishy-washy. They're like, oh, but both sides are really nice people, and you're just like, wait a minute.
It was the biggest wussy political comedy of the century.
Yeah, because they did try and touch into the politics. And then they like had a little preach about global warming and a little preach about health insurance and a little preach. And you're just like, okay, either preach to me like a Michael Moore movie, and I can take it or leave it, or don't preach at all and do something like, did you ever see, what's the one with James Gardner and Jack Lemmon, my fellow Americans? Did you ever see? Hilarious movie because they just completely stay out of politics. This one's like, well, we're staying out of politics, but not really.
But we're going to have a little message. All right, really cool. So what kind of grade are we giving this thing?
This one I am going to have to say kind of sucks.
I'm going to have to agree. Well.
No, you can't just suddenly.
No, see, I'm torn between kind of sucks and totally sucks.
Okay.
The little girl in the movie is good enough to give it a kind of sucks. Like I think in a different movie
resume now. She'll be like, I've raised a movie from totally nice. Sucking to just kind of sucking.
Cool. All right, so moving on to our indie spotlight of the week.
Can I make fun of the Whackness now?
No, the Whackness was last week.
Yeah, but I finally saw it.
Or whatever.
And I have to say, it was whack.
I know plenty of people that liked it. So
okay,
friends. You're just not the target audience.
Totally not. No, I don't think it's going to do well because the target audience are like stoners.
It'll do well on DVD.
They don't get out to the theater much.
It was like what John Cho and Harold and Cal Penn said. Well, we did this for DVD because our audience smokes a lot of pot.
Yeah, well, that's basically what John Cho said at Comic-Con. He's like, yeah, we don't. we were planning the DVD because right. we always do well on DVD.
So the Whackness, I think, will find a good audience on DVD. Plus, it's doing well in New York and LA. So it's not a movie for people that live in the Midwest, though.
It's totally a New York movie.
So this one is a movie for people in the Midwest because it was shot at a high school in Indiana. Mm. It's called American Teen. And if you've been on Film School Rejects, we've been doing some things with American Teen. We're also hosting some screenings here in Columbus.
When's our screening for it? Can we announce it?
It is, hold on.
I'm sorry, I'm playing music over you.
It's on August 14th, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at the AMC Lennox. We'll have our passes up over the weekend at the video store, Video Central on Bethel Road. Yes. So, but here's what I really like about this movie. First of all,
nakedness.
No, there's no nakedness. It really kind of took me back to my high school days.
That's another thing about the Whackness. There was not a whole lot of Olivia
Thurman.
Right,
not enough. I agree. But the cool thing about this is it's a story of these five high school seniors and going through the last year of high school. It's a documentary, but it's probably the most accessible documentary that I've seen in the last couple of years because it. And some people are going to like this, some people won't. It's got that very quick cut MTV style to it. Mm-hmm. So it feels like The Hills, or it feels like, what's that other one? Laguna Beach.
It seems appropriate for the title, at least.
It is very, it speaks to that particular audience. Plus, if you went to high school in probably the last 10 years, it kind of speaks to that.
And by going to high school, that means you actually went to high school. You right. haven't been like a perv standing outside high school asking
no,
for dates.
No, I was in high school within the last 10 years. So
I'm just saying, but you also have been a perv going to high
not,
school,
not
stalking
true.
Pretty girls.
Once again, the libel case.
Wetting your pants.
I'm just filling up just... I have a folder full of libelous statements from Kevin Carr. One of these days, man.
One of these days, you're going to sue me for everything I got. I'll be like, okay, here's my complete copy of The Watchmen and a wet Kleenex. Don't even ask me why it's wet.
But it's a very cool little flick. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I've seen it now twice, and... I liked it. It's probably people are very afraid to throw around the word documentary with this film. It is a documentary, but it doesn't feel like one. It really is. If you're into that MTV reality generation stuff, this is probably the best documentary you'll ever see.
Is it? But it's a real documentary.
It is a real documentary.
They're not in there pushing the story.
They're not faking it. I mean, it's.
I can't exactly think. I don't think everything that happens on documentary on reality TV is even close to the truth.
Right. So this one actually does feel kind of real.
So it's not like the girls sitting in a room alone with a cameraman and suddenly, bleep, the phone rings. Oh, my gosh. And it's somebody I've been waiting to talk to for days.
It's funny because we actually asked, at Sundance, we asked Nanette Burstein, the director of the film, how they got some of these shots. Because some of those shots you would assume. And she's like, no, literally we had like... four camera crews, and we just followed them around 24 hours a day. Okay. It was pain.
That's cool.
So,
because I was watching like the behind the scenes of The Girls Next Door, and if you watch the commentaries, there's a scene where Kendra, the girl, the youngest one, she's in her bed, and Hugh Hefner comes in. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna go down and do this for your birthday." And she's talking over the commentary. I was listening. And she's like, "Yeah, we totally set this up." And I had to pretend like I was like, "Oh, really?" Because they said, "Well, we're gonna come in and have Hugh say this to you." And
right,
you know,
I'm sure some of it's.
And she's not that great.
I would even guess that some of the American Teen stuff is set up, but not to a great extent. Mm-hmm. Like for the most part, it feels very organic. So
organic.
Yeah, like it just.
There happens. No pesticides were used in the American Teen documentary.
Whatever. You'll look that one up on Wikipedia. So, moving along, got some box office for you. What happened?
I'm just making
week?
Weird noises.
The Dark Knight won again last week.
Yeah, that was not a big surprise.
I really think the only question at this... Well, the big surprise last week, I think, was the X-Files only doing $10 million.
The X-Files kind of stunk.
It's like the Meet Dave of sci-fi.
I think... I think Meet Dave was the Meet Dave of sci-fi, actually.
The Meet Dave of serious sci-fi movies?
No, I haven't seen X-Files. I think what killed... two things killed the X-Files.
The Dark Knight.
To me. No, I don't think... I really don't think it had a whole lot to do with The Dark Knight. It still would have come in under it. Mm-hmm. But what killed people from going, A, way too late to do this. And B,
right.
not enough care... People just didn't care about it. It wasn't like... The X-Files, there was no burning need to see things wrapped up. Like Sex and the City, there were people like, is she ever going to be happy with Big?
Right.
Is she ever going to actually marry Big? You didn't have this with the X-Files, and even though I haven't seen it.
Because it was so long ago, no one even remembers what happened at the end of that last one.
And
so.
From what I understand, they also didn't have, it really wasn't a story to their giant long mythology. It was just something separate.
Right.
It was sort of like
it stood on its own. Yeah. So I guess
if they would have made that movie 5 years ago, it probably would have done a lot better.
Right. And what confused me a little bit was our guy Rob Hunter went to WonderCon in San Francisco in March, okay. I believe, or in April. And that was like the biggest panel. That was the most flooded panel, the X-Files panel.
But they tried to keep stuff so secret.
And then people just lost interest between April and the end of July. People are like, we really don't even care anymore.
Yeah. Whereas if you look at something like The Dark Knight, even though The Dark Knight was going to do better anyways,
mm-hmm.
but the way they handled the press for The Dark Knight, they continually leaked stuff out, mm-hmm. let you know things here and there. Whereas yeah. X-Files, it was nothing, 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 and they dropped everything the week before.
Right.
And it was basically dropped it the week after The Dark Knight came out. So no one was hungry for it.
At that point, The Dark Knight was still just rolling, which it is still rolling.
Let's ask the question, do you think it's going to make $600 million? That's the big thing now. Everyone's asking.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I want it to. I'd love to see it take Titanic because it would. I just think it's probably the most appropriate film that's going to come out this year to overtake Titanic.
I don't know about that. I think that me and Dave had a shot.
Tropic Thunder still
has
a
chance. It's a romance.
But,
Tropic Thunder's not going to do as well as everyone thinks.
But
as good as it is, I love Tropic Thunder.
We'll get to that. We got weeks. We got, what, 2 weeks for that one?
No.
But I don't think it will, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to go over $500 million. I think it'll be like what was the number two of all time? Was it $550 or something?
Star Wars, I think, is the number two.
Let me see. I got it right here. Star Wars at $460. I think it'll be number two all time. And I think that's a good spot for it.
It might. It's just the thing is that it had such a big opening, and that's still a lot to make up. It's made, what, like 300 and...
It's over...
30
It's at 340.
340.
Going into this weekend.
It would still have to make over $100 million to top that, which
mm-hmm.
it's doable.
Yep. People are predicting that it makes at least another 80.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, I think it's not gonna. What made Titanic do that was it just was a mm-hmm. great date movie,
right?
And there were people who loved it and saw it over and over and over again, especially the female audience. And I think the people who've seen Dark Knight over and over and over again, I think that's dwindling down.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So cool, but I think I have a feeling that it's gonna win the weekend again this weekend.
I have a feeling that the Mummy's not going to do as well as they're predicting.
So I think Dark Knight, Mummy,
Step Brothers. That's what I said.
All right.
I think Swing Vote's going to be down.
I think I'm going
to. Just don't know what the audience is for.
I hate to do this, but I have to agree.
Yes.
So
you agree with me?
That's that.
I rule.
When we come back, we're going to be.
You will bow down before me, Jor-El.
We're either going to be in the internet only segment where we're going to do all kinds of fun stuff, or we're going to come back and do a DVD roundup and get you out of here. And for those of you on the internet, the interwebs, as I like to call them, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
The netherwebs.
And this is our...
In the nether regions.
This is our freaking internet-only segment.
Wow. Pull out the blue card here.
Yep.
This is our freaking HE double hockey sticks.
My mom listens to this show, so I don't want to go too crazy. We'll get to that in a second.
We love you, Mrs.
We
Miller.
Have a segment named after a curse word here coming up. But first, we're going to do Bring On the Hype, which is the segment where we look at some of the trailers that have come out.
That's the Bring Up the Hype.
Really? Okay.
We were actually in the bathroom at this pizza place in San Diego. Me and Brian Gibson and Cole Abayas were all
the
in this.
Robot.
And it's like they only had one bathroom. They only had one toilet. And we were like in there.
Yeah.
And they started playing this rave music. So we started having this rave. And then this guy walks in and we're like. And Brian's peeing. And he's like, what? We're like, sorry.
Anyways. So we got two trailers. Three trailers to talk about.
What are we, the Spanish Inquisition?
Two that are online. The first one is W, which is the George Bush movie from Oliver Stone.
Which stands for wah, wah.
And I think we were discussing this off the air. We have no idea what to make of this movie. Ultimately, I think that the only problem with this film is it makes George Bush look more interesting than he probably was as a young man. I mean, I get the whole like drinking and driving and dropping out of the whatever military he was in and, you know, going to Princeton and all this and meeting his wife. But it doesn't sound that interesting. But when Oliver Stone does it, even I don't know what he's doing. If he's making a parody, it looks looks funny, but
I don't think he's making a parody.
I don't know what he's trying to say with this movie.
Well, in the reality, pretty much any presidential candidate is really not.
They're boring people.
Like, you might have Kennedy would probably be kind of interesting.
Right.
Clinton would be great if you were making a stoner comedy. I mean, you could have Harold and Kumar hang out with Bill Clinton.
Right.
It would be hilarious.
It's like and it's like do very George well Bush, DVD. The people that whether you like him or don't like him, he's more interesting if you're making fun of him with stuff that's not true. Like it's he's not that interesting. And you know what? I even think like people like Lincoln. Lincoln was probably not that interesting as a guy, you know?
No one is. I mean, politics is politics. And
exactly.
I've known politicians, boring people. Why? Yeah. Because they got to be careful what they say, careful what they do. And even if this is supposed, it seems to me like Stone's being like, this is
right
who he was in the past. But you know, even if you subscribe, no matter what side you come at it from, if you're coming at it from you hate George Bush, you're going to be like, yes, he was an idiot. And if you come from loving George Bush, you're going to be like, yeah, but he then kind of had an epiphany later in life,
you know,
and sort of changed his life kind of
thing. Right. So it's not going to change anybody's mind.
Yeah. So it's I don't know who it's for. It's like to me, it's like he's making his Nixon version of W, only just way, 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 way too early.
Okay. So question, too much hype or needs more?
Even now, it's too much hype.
Too much hype.
Because it's just getting some news. It's getting news because didn't they all get in a bar fight once?
Yeah, fake George Bush got in a bar fight.
But you know what I thought was really kind of pathetic about this trailer is they start putting the names underneath it, but it's not the actors' names.
It's the names of the characters. Yeah, just in case you didn't know that.
Yeah, there's Elizabeth Banks, and it goes Laura Bush. And right. There's Toby, what's his name?
Toby Jones.
Jones, and it's like Karl Rove. And you're like, this reminds me of when they were doing American Pie 2,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't say Jason Biggs. They
right.
said whatever the character name is. And what was his name?
I don't even know.
And then you had Eugene Levy, and it was so-and-so's dad. Was literally what it said over his head. I don't even know. What is the I am blown away that he got funding for this.
I'm blown away that it's almost done. Like, yeah. It's coming out in October.
And it's the most anticlimactic. You're, like, watching it, and you're just kind of like, I still don't get the point.
Right.
You know, are you trying to make him, like, a tortured individual? Like, you know, is he going to rip a sink off a wall at some point?
That'd be fun.
Which would be cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyways, moving on.
Yes.
Next one is The Brothers Bloom, which is the sophomore effort from Rian Johnson, who did the movie Brick, which I think we both liked.
I liked it to a degree, but it was
weird. I love that movie.
I thought it was cool, and I got what he did, but it was a little high on itself.
Okay, fair enough. So this one's got Adrian Brody and Mark Ruffalo as two con men brothers. This one looks a little bit more slapsticky, a little bit more polished.
Totally not doesn't feel at all like it's from the same guy.
Yeah, it doesn't feel at all like it's from the same guy. I still, though, I'm very interested to see it because he had such a unique kind of visual style for Brick.
But he was going for noir. He was right. going for film noir in that.
So it'll be interesting to see him take a completely different direction, to do something that's not noir, to do something that...
Looks like the bank job.
That feels like the bank job. Yeah, exactly. So I think this one needs a little bit more hype.
Yeah, I think people need to get the word out.
October, right? Yeah, October. So I think people need to hear a little bit more about this one.
Yeah, it seems like it's this one that I bet you the studio hasn't quite decided whether they're going to put it in 100 theaters or 2,000.
Right.
And we'll see where it goes.
But I think I'm really pulling for Rian Johnson because I think he's a very cool guy, very cool director.
I'll be curious to see what is next. How this goes.
And then what he makes next. So the last one was Wolverine, trailer debuted at Comic-Con. Didn't we talk about this on last week's show?
Maybe.
It's awesome.
Looks cool.
Looks very cool.
You can see a really crappy version of it on the web.
Yeah, we've still got it up at Film School Rejects. Nobody asked us to take it down yet, so screw them.
I've got plans. I've got plans for next year.
For what?
We're gonna
bootleg everything.
We're gonna put a bionic face onto one of our people.
Nice. And we're gonna bootleg everything.
Maybe we'll put it on Cole.
Our press passes for next year just got denied.
No, they did because nobody listens to this show.
So fair enough. So speaking of Comic-Con, we'll do a little Comic-Con wrap up here.
Oh my god!
So I would say let's do like, what was your favorite moment of Comic-Con?
Can I jump in and steal your favorite moment?
Yeah. What was?
We were at a steakhouse. On Sunday.
Oh, this was one of my favorite moments. but it's better if told by someone other than me.
Okay. So we go to the steakhouse and we have six people from Film School Rejects covering Comic-Con. And it's one of those steakhouses that's that looks kind of swanky, and it's in downtown San Diego. And we sit down, and Neil's like, "Hey, can you? I don't want to have to pay $700 for this meal."
Because I was buying dinner for the team.
Dinner on the, you know, the site was buying
as a thank you for
being exactly
and shit.
And so, and we're like, yeah, okay. And so then Robert Fury, who's sitting next to me, looks at the menu and he like says jokingly, he's like, "Ooh, I'm going to get the lobster. It's $49.95. And then I look at everything else on the menu. You might as well get the lobster for $49.95. Because
everything else was like $49.95 on the menu.
All the meals were like anywhere from like, I think the cheapest was like major $20. Meal was $26.
Yeah.
And then you could get like pasta. You could get like penne marinara for like $15 or something like that. Right. So, which is like 5 cents worth of ingredients, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting there and Cody asks, what comes with the meatloaf, which was the cheapest thing on the meat menu at $26. Mm-hmm. The waitress looks at him flat, dead serious, nothing. And Cody just is like, starts, and like Neil starts going into this tremor and she's like, but you can buy, you're supposed to buy your sides in like sort of family style where you pay like $8 for mashed potatoes. And,
right. It was a la carte. Everything was a la carte.
And
at that point, I think a part of me died.
Yeah. He did wet his pants actually at that moment. And everyone's like scanning and no one's saying anything because we're all waiting for Neil to order first because we're kind of like, because
I was like, I'm going to get water.
Yeah, well, you started off and you say, well, I guess I better get a steak. And if he would have been like, I'll have the filet, we'd be like, okay, everyone would have gotten the same thing. I think because we're not assholes. You know? At least
right.
At that moment we weren't. So then Neil's like, well,
not really. Like yeah. just publicly assholes.
Publicly, yeah. You know, we're really nice people. And so we asked the waitress to go away. We figure this out. And Neil is sweating. And we finally are like, well, why don't we get some appetizers, you know, and just kind of share them. So we got like oysters, Rockefeller, and a shrimp cocktail, which worked out to be, there were big shrimp and there were great shrimp, but it worked out to be $2.50 a shrimp.
Right.
Because there were like six for whatever, $15.
$27.
And
something.
So then he's like, oh, well, let's get the crab cake. That sounds cool. You know, let's get that and we'll share that. It was $15. And the waitress comes
crab
out.
Crab cake. You would assume that there's more than one.
She comes out, she brings out a crab cake. She goes, here's the crab cake. And it's the size of a racquetball and it's one.
And I burst into laughter.
Yeah, and at tears. That
point. And tears. Some tears were flowing down my face. I was like, this is not happening.
To their credit, it was a fabulous crab cake.
It was a good crab cake, I will admit that.
Really good.
So the funny part was we decided to then just get the appetizers, our two iced teas, and I paid the bill. And
I had a soda for
it. It ended up being like $90. And we walked down the street to a really good pizza place. Like
kind of like California Petri.
Kind of like, yeah, but like, yeah. And paid like $70 for like seven pizzas or six pizzas or whatever.
$60, I think, was what the tip came to for bill came to for that.
Right, and it was less than what we paid for four appetizers and two drinks and four waters.
Well, and on the tag on that is we on the way back to the hotel we got beer. Cole and I stopped and got beer, which still was only like $20. So
and
it
we
still
got cigars,
kept us, and it still kept us underneath we how still, much it
we,
cost.
We stayed under $100 for that entire second meal. So if we find the guy who picked that restaurant, he's gonna get punched in the face. I'm sure, but not by me.
You'll hire somebody.
I'll hire somebody or something.
Okay, so I had to steal that. The crab cake moment. I just thought
that was very funny. You know what? I don't think I can beat that. That was pretty much it. It was that and missing the Tron trailer that just my whole weekend went downhill. So, but no, it was a lot of fun overall. The Wrath of Khan party. We got to hang out a little bit with Thomas Jane at the Mutant Chronicles after party, which was a lot of fun. So overall, it was good times, and I'm actually very happy for all the readers that read Film School Rejects. We had some really awesome coverage, including some great video stuff that we just put online this week, and
some stuff that went up during the con too.
Yeah, and we had some stuff that went up during the con. We got some still over this weekend. As you're listening to this show, go check it out. We got some more stuff, and then early next week we're gonna have the gag reel, which that'll be kind of funny.
Yeah.
So not as relevant to the con necessarily. But it's funny.
It's worth
now
watching.
That you've seen the other two videos, you'll get the gist of it. Mine was just having everybody together and being able to hang out. I think that was my best moment, best thing about Comic-Con. I
mean, and well,
the
and
footage
the
was cool, but it was really fun to have like Rob, Robert, Cole, and Brian, and Cody, and you, and everybody together.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we're in Ohio, so I see you a lot. I see Brian.
Unfortunately, you and I see each other a lot.
I see Brian and Cody periodically because they just live in Cleveland. But like, Cole lives out on the East Coast, and mm-hmm. and Rob Fury lives out in L.A., and Rob Hunter lives in somewhere up in Northern California, I think.
Yep.
So it's nice that it was nice to get together and meet these people who've been reading their stuff. Rob Fury and I spent quite a bit of time together getting dissed by Rona Mitra.
I can't wait to see that gag reel.
It's not as impressive as what I just watched her do it to him right there in the line. I think she said, have you seen the first two movies?
In her very, very cute accent.
She is very attractive.
All right, so
she's got great legs.
That puts the wrap on Comic-Con. Let's do a real quick weekly What the Farfignugan and get out of here with our pride. Hopefully still intact. I'll go first.
You got those are both yours.
Oh, they are both mine? Yes, both sweet. Yours. All right, well.
I only came up with the whole Shia LaBeouf thing,
but you got to have a whole column about that.
Yeah.
Also, I need to, this is kind of where I interview Kevin Carr. How do you feel about the STFU column that we've launched?
I didn't even, it just went up.
I didn't even read it. I was on Film School Rejects today, just browsing around like I always do. And I was like, whoa, look at this new column.
I haven't responded to it yet. I will. I'm keeping Cole Bias in suspense, hoping.
I think he's really waiting for you to come flying back at him.
I think it's cool. I mean, hey, you want to anchor the site more around me? Knock yourself out.
Plus, I think it'll create some back and forth. Next week you're gonna have to mention it in your WTF
guy. I might. But I might be who the Farfignugan is Cole Bias.
You might just have to take the high road and not mention it. That would probably frustrate the hell out of him.
Well, you know what I thought was
I'm just not gonna pay attention to what you're saying.
I did think it was very cleverly written, but I think that Cole, he's almost too good of a writer for the site, because if you don't quite know exactly what's happening, you could easily not get the joke.
Right. He keeps us legit, basically.
I mean, I'm reading this thing going, this is really hilarious if you know that he's completely bullshitting.
Right. People who are real writers read our stuff, and they're like, who are these guys? And they read his, and they're like, all right, well, fair enough, you know? So
my favorite comment on there, though, was somebody's like, who is Khloe Kardashian, and why is it spelled with a K?
I love how he went through the steps of who Khloe Kardashian was.
Yeah.
Like, she's sister of Kim Kardashian, daughter of Bruce Jenner, and then all this. And it's like, literally, it ends up with, she's still a nobody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's...
She's still a nobody that got press for being in jail for 173 minutes.
Let's put it this way. I can't say I disagree with anything that he says in that article.
Cool. So things that we do, I don't know, we could agree, disagree, whatever. These are just things that made me go, what the fuck, this week.
What?
The first one was the John McCain slam ad. This, it's not even the political affiliation of me not liking John McCain, because I think he's gonna die before the election.
Dick Cheney survived 8 years.
He's old. Well, I know Dick Cheney is. That's probably what he's going on. He's like, well, if Dick Cheney can do it,
Dick Cheney made it.
But I mean,
Reagan died 10, 20 years after he was president.
I'm not even paying attention to his politics at this point. I'm just waiting for the guy to croak. So. But he launched this ad.
The irony is like Barack Obama will have a stroke.
Don't say that. That'd be terrible. At least John McCain would be like, oh, well, I guess we understand.
What would they do? Seriously, what would they do if either John McCain...
They'd have to get a new candidate.
Would it be like Hillary Clinton? Like, just go...
Just kind of slide in there? Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
That's
never happened before. It's kind of like swing boat. You know? It's so implausible, we don't even think about it.
Exactly.
But they ran this ad that starts out comparing Barack Obama to Paris Hilton and Britney Spears, and talking about how he's the most famous guy in the land.
Is that because of all the upskirt shots we have?
Yeah,
of Barack
I think
Obama?
It is. It's all the up pant sleeve things. But that's
he
the most
wear
ridiculous.
Panties when he goes out clubbing.
That is the most ridiculous ad. I don't care what it's about. They lost me right there. I was like, I have no idea what this is about. It's comparing. That's like the furthest reach. That'd be like. That would be like. John McCain is the Miley Cyrus of politics, you know?
No, yeah. Not really.
No, it'd be like,
it would be
who's
more
the
like,
boring one? He's like one of the Jonas. He's like the not so famous Jonas brother of politics.
No, it'd be like he would. No, you know what's a better thing would be? John McCain is the Billy Ray Cyrus of the Disney Channel politics, because he's this really old guy who suddenly got famous for being in something that's a lot more current than he is. Are you with me on that one?
True. It's twisted logic, but it works.
It's using the logic, because that's basically what the ad's saying, is that he's just like the...
He's all flash.
He's all... Everyone... Well, Barack Obama's made more news than...
He is. He's very interesting.
Well, but it's also... News. There's a lot more to it in the fact that he's the first black guy who's ever really had a serious shot. Right. You know, you cannot deny that that's brought him a lot more press.
He's very charismatic.
He had a crazy campaign against Hillary Clinton, so he's got a lot of press.
Right. He's got a lot of momentum just, you know, press-wise. Not just even
having nothing to do with him.
Right. Having nothing to do with the election or anything. He's a very, very... He's more public figure than John McCain. Because
John McCain's just like, oh, he's running again? Oh, right. Shit. He got the nominee.
Right. People are like, wait a second. Is that the same guy from before? Like,
he was going against Bush 1, you know? So people are like, oh, he finally got it. There we go.
Right. Congratulations.
He's Bob Dole, you know, so.
It's like the Special Olympics kid that finally wins. Oh, my God. Congratulations, you did it.
Oh, that's so
that's cool. Right. That's right. Crazy. New campaign ad, Mr. Obama. I know you won't sing to this level, but compare John McCain to the Special Olympics and ye shall win.
On one hand, I don't disagree with the campaign, because ultimately, all's fair in politics.
That's true.
You know, you can do whatever you want to. I mean, if you would see some of the campaign ads that are run in very small, local, targeted markets, like heavily Christian markets. Like, I remember back when...
They run the dead baby ads.
Well, and when
like
Bush
that.
Was running against... the first Bush was running against Clinton. I think that's when he was running against Clinton. I saw some of the ads that the Bush... I don't even know if it was the Bush camp, or if it was just... Political action committees were running them in like heavy Christian things on 700 Club and stuff. Like, it's like if Clinton becomes, you know, we're going to have gay men teaching your children, and they have the show and like shot footage from the gay pride parade. It's so extreme.
Right.
You never see those because they never really go national feeds. This one just kind of.
Here's the thing about this commercial, though. I get low and I get dirty politics. I have no idea what this commercial means. Like, I don't get the Paris Hilton, Britney Spears. Like, what? What's the purpose of that?
My only complaint against it is two things. It's way too early for stuff like that. It is kind of an early launch of a dirty campaign. And it's not even dirty. It's just it is kind of out there. It's out there. But on the other hand, I don't know if it's going to be that detrimental to Obama, because people would be like, yeah, he's like, I love that video of Hillary.
Exactly.
Here's
the thing that they're underestimating. I think that there are people in this country who would vote for Paris Hilton for president. So
I think you're absolutely right.
I think that they are really, this is going to turn around and bite them in the ass is basically what's going to happen.
Well, I think it's just so early still because it's just turning into August. It's more or less just kind of fun.
It's just silly.
It's just ridiculous.
It's something that would only be on like The Daily Show, but I couldn't believe that it actually happened. So it was awesome. The next one is Tom Cruise, one of our favorite guys to talk about. Yeah. I mean, he's right up there.
You just heard felt the wind suck out of the room on that one. We're like, Hillary, Barack Obama,
and
Paris
Tom
Hill,
Cruise.
Tom
it was.
Cruise.
It's funny because Tom Cruise recently had a redeeming situation for me, at least, because he was absolutely hilarious in Tropic Thunder.
Then he tried to rape you.
But then, and you know, I don't have a problem with Scientology. I'm all, you know, whatever.
You're like, hey, you want to give money to the crazy people?
What was the line from Swing Vote? What a king does in his own castle is his own business. You know, whatever, man. Let him.
Wow,
let
you're
him
quoting
do it.
Swing Vote now.
But Tom Cruise was named as the Don or the Godfather in a racketeering case against Scientologists. And there's some kind of $250 million suit against the Church of Scientology in Florida. It's all about racketeering, which I don't completely understand, but that's okay.
You mean like racquetball racketeering?
No, like racketeering.
Do they beat people with rackets?
It's generally something that is reserved for the mafia.
It's basically them trying to extort money out of
people, exactly.
Really is what it is.
So they basically stated that Tom Cruise was the Don of all this. Where does this guy get the time to be the Godfather?
Well, isn't
in Florida of Scientology?
When the whole video came out with him, the doon 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 doon, and him laughing and all that,
right?
Wasn't it right around that point that they actually said that some insider said that he's like the number two guy? He is the main spokesperson for Scientology.
Yeah, but he's like a spokesperson. It doesn't mean he's like running the show.
Well, I think, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Plus, I think, you know what I think?
I don't think he's smart enough to run the
show. I kind of feel bad for the whole Scientology thing, because I think it gets blown out of proportion. It's a silly It's a silly system of beliefs. It's not even a religion. It's a silly system of beliefs.
It's like, oh, we're going to make this into candy.
I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be. Like, I have not read Dianetics, and I intend to one day because I would like to understand it more.
And then I'll come in here and be chanting in a robe.
But
be like, boo, my brain's going to turn into a
god. I don't think it's as bad as people make it seem. It's just a little bit too out there for people. Well, so I kind of feel bad that they just get hammered.
My question is, who are the real victims? Because it always seems that the only Scientologists you ever hear of are famous people who are too stupid to hold on.
Where are the normal Scientologists?
They don't exist.
Fair enough.
In my pants.
So, but I thought that the best tag was the tag that Defamer.com put up for this. It was the La Cruza Nostra. I thought that was funny. So that's my weekly what the fuck.
I guess that's it.
When we come back, we're going to do DVD Roundup, and we'll get you out of here. And we're wrapping up here on Fat Guys the Movies.
Ooh, ooh.
All right.
Isn't that what they do in, like, clubs?
In rap, I was waiting for you to say rap videos.
I know they don't do that in rap videos.
And once again, Kevin Carr has shown his cards.
I don't know anything about rap videos.
So, except no,
there's like
I don't know
bootylicious
what they
stuff going on.
They did that in clubs in the early 90s back when Will Smith was still a rapper called The Fresh Prince and nobody knew him as Will Smith.
When people be like, Oscar for Will Smith.
Yeah, exactly. So time to do the DVD roundup. Great sound effect. Yes. We'll start with you, I think.
My DVD pick of the week would be Stargate Continuum, which is another direct DVD.
It's
Stargate
because you
movies.
Got to go on an aircraft carrier. Let's admit this.
That was cool. At Comic-Con, got to go onto an aircraft carrier and interview the cast and director and writer of the film, and got a chance to ask the burning question to Richard Dean Anderson what his favorite cake is.
And he couldn't come up with an answer.
Oh,
you know,
he did.
Part.
He did. It was a lemony kind of cake. Cinnamon scones.
Yeah, fair enough.
But you even said to me, you kept bugging me the rest of the week, like, what was that about the cake? And I'm like, you don't watch Stargate.
Yeah, I obviously didn't get the joke. But
if you're a huge fan, funny?
There were Stargate fans who commented on the post that they totally got the cake thing.
Everybody talked about it. They talked about, they didn't mention cake.
Fair enough. So, yeah. Cool. My pick is Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay because... I got to get on the unicorn at Comic-Con.
Did you get up on that?
No, I didn't, but I went over to it, and I was going to try it, but there was like a weight problem thing. They were having,
they didn't want
fat people on it. So
Robert Fury and I got an interview, John Cho and Cal Penn, and Robert wanted to do the interview on top of the unicorn, and I just told him there's no way I could get the camera.
I still think it would have been funny if you got all three of them up on the unicorn and Robert just leaned back or like sitting in between the two of them going back and forth.
Seeing how they dealt with people, I think John and Cal would have been game for that if Robert Fury was a hot chick.
Right. Fair enough. So, but I will say this.
And I don't blame him for that.
I will say this. Harold and Kumar is a very funny, easy to watch film if you like stoner comedies. Like it's not, you don't have to think very much. You can get stoned in the comfort of your own home and watch this film and enjoy it thoroughly.
Not that we're endorsing that.
Yes. And it will probably be the best appearance of President Bush on film.
Scary, though.
Even with Oliver Stone's movie coming out.
It's a scary-looking President Bush.
It's very weird.
It's weird.
It's a very uncomfortable scene to watch.
It's
but
sort of like if one of those, what were those Reagan puppets that they had back in the 80s?
I don't know.
If they, like, came to life. That's what the Bush thing looked like.
Yeah. So not as good as the first one, but I think it's going to have a good life on DVD because as John and Cal said during the interview, most of their biggest fans are stoners.
Well, and John Cho did assure us that there would be more breasts.
More Wang as well.
Yeah.
So.
Go watch the video.
There's an Asian man named Wang in the movie. So.
Well, that was funny because Rob, John Cho's, of course, he's Asian. And,
right.
And that is the word that Robert used.
He used Wang.
That's what he chose as his euphemism. Yeah.
Wow, he really has a knack for creating an uncomfortable situation with celebrities. I love it.
It wasn't as bad as the one with Rona Mitra, but that's
fair enough. And what's our stinker of the week?
That would be Never Back Down.
Yes.
Because we need more movies that tell kids that if you have problems, to settle it with your fists. And
with your shirts off.
In the rain.
In the rain.
This is like, if you saw Step Up 2.
I prefer Step Up 2. That's what first came to my mind.
Step Up 2.
Like, at least there are hot chicks in the rain.
Hot chick dancing. In the rain. But it really is. It's literally exactly the same. It's like almost scene for scene the same as Step Up 2. Only they're fighting.
Only they're fighting instead of dancing. You know that? What
and
if
no
they did a
chicks.
Crossover film and called it Step Up Back Down.
Ooh, that's not bad.
And they start dancing, and then they beat the crap out of each other.
This one did have
as Amber- long as Channing Tatum gets his behind kicked at the end of it, I'm sold. I will buy four tickets to that right now.
Awesome. Is this the saving grace of Never Back Down? They do have Amber Heard in there.
Who's very hot.
Very
who was in Pineapple Express, which I just
is
saw.
She, oh, is she mm-hmm.
She plays Seth Rogen's high school aged girlfriend.
Is she naked?
No, it's not a naked kind of thing. Anyways.
David Gordon Green, you let us down.
He let us down. But the theme song was really good.
Okay.
So anyways, time to do a little review wrap up. And we'll start with The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. I don't even remember what I said for this. Did I say totally sucks? Kind of sucks? Oh, it's kind of sucks because of the ninja football playing
That's
Yetis.
Right.
Yeah, Ninja Yeti Football Diaries, the spinoff, would make this a totally rocks. Yes. But otherwise, it kind of sucks.
This one I had to say kind of rocks simply because I think if you've got... It's the closest right now, the closest release this weekend of the two, that would be the family film.
Fair enough. And then Swing Vote, which tries to be the family film, but it also tries to be something altogether different. I said kind of sucks as well.
I think how you said it was it would be totally sucks, but the Subway girl,
the little girl
brought it up to...
She was pretty good.
I think I said kind of sucks for this one.
Okay, fair enough.
Just because I'm a cynical SOB.
Yes.
And I don't believe in human spirit, and this one had way too much faith in it.
Understandable. Next week, we will have a full range of films from the weed action comedy Pineapple Express with Seth Rogen and James Franco to the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2 with my future ex-wife, Blake Lively, in it. So
she is a good-looking lady.
She is a good-looking woman, and she is a woman. She's old enough.
As opposed to
well,
what?
No, normally it's the Miley Cyrus joke, but this time I picked somebody who's over 18, so we're in good shape.
Okay.
So
it also has Ugly Betty in it.
Fair enough. I'd do her, too.
Wow.
If you'd like to get a hold of us in
as Ugly Betty or as American
both.
Ferrera? Really?
Yes. I think the Ugly Betty thing would be kind of hot. But okay. In between now and then, if you'd like to tell us what you thought of what I just said, you can get us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can get us over on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store search thingy-mabobber. And if you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. That's all I got.
Thingy-mabobber?
Yes. Ninja Yeti Football Diaries. Greatest film ever.